This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 4, for Sunday, June 17th, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network. Welcome.
That sounds so official. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. We hope you're having a relaxing and fun day, and maybe you even got a pen as a present. Brian did not get a pen, but his birthday's in 2 weeks, so we'll see what happens then.
Does that mean I'm getting a pen in 2 weeks?
I said, we'll see what happens then. There's no promise made there.
Stay tuned, folks. Thanks again for the comments on last week's podcast. We had some audio difficulties to overcome. We've hopefully fixed them for this week, so keep those comments coming. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We have run across an interesting opportunity, and we'd like to ask for your help. We would love to apply for a small business grant offered by Chase and Living Social for, get this, $250,000. We'd love your support, and we need 250 votes before the end of the month in order to be considered. Please go to missionsmallbusiness.com, log in with Facebook. You can search for us as Anderson Penns and vote for us. We do really appreciate the support.
Yes, thank you.
Cross fingers.
So I got an interesting text message yesterday.
During breakfast.
It was brunch, I think. Maybe the second best text message I've ever received.
What was the first?
The first was, I vaguely recall an antique show a couple years ago where we, I guess it was in De Pere, we spotted a couple of pens and we were woefully unprepared.
Financially.
So we asked the dealer to set them aside for us while we ran to a nearby ATM to get some cash. And we were with our friend Bryce. And so Bryce and I went, got in the car. took what seemed like forever to find the ATM because it was kind of difficult getting there, one-way streets and all. And as I'm pulling into the bank lot, I get this text message from Lisa. It says, get more, found more pens.
I stayed behind to keep an eye on the pens and to do a little bit more reconnaissance and found more pens.
Yeah, so
get more money.
I think at that point I knew I'd found the right woman. I was in love. So anyway, yesterday I was making some omelets. Then I noticed my phone had rung, and my brother-in-law, Harry, had called. But sometimes my phone doesn't ring, and I only find out that there's a call after the fact. Seconds later, I hear Lisa's phone ringing upstairs. And then I get a text message from Harry. I was going to call him back after lunch, but when I read the text message, I decided I had to call him right away. It says, two old Parker pens, one wherever, five boxes of cartridges, $10.
Breakfast could wait.
Breakfast can wait. So naturally, I have to find out what's going on. I call Harry, and he tells me it is a garage sale, and there are these pens. So I ask him what the, not caring what the water, wherever looks like. I ask what the Parkers look like, just to make sure I'm not getting some jotters or 21s or other pens I'm not terribly interested in. And he tells me one of them is a stripy camouflage kind of looking pen. I don't know about you, but when I hear the word camouflage in Parker, the first thing I think of is the Vector that Parker came out with that was in camouflage. Not something I really want.
No, thank you.
But stripy doesn't really seem to fit that description, so he says he can have my sister snap a couple pictures and text them to me. So I say, sure. A couple minutes later, I get a picture in. Sure enough, there's a wherever. It's a deluxe. Okay, ooh. So it's probably the best wherever ever made.
Then relatively
speaking, yeah. Then the two Parkers, no Vector, thank goodness. And I do a double take of the picture, and I immediately tell both my sister and brother-in-law to buy it. Immediately. Don't wait. Don't delay. So what was in the picture? Well, for $10, how about a dual fold senior in jade and a double jewel vacuumatic in gold and pearl?
Awesome.
The vac, I can't tell. It may be a deb size. It could be a major, but anything looks kind of small next to a dual fold senior. And at that price, you kind of have to wonder too, well, you know, it's $10, but you know, does it have a nib? Well, for sure the dual fold's got a nib. They didn't take a picture of the vac, but they said they were complete. And who cares? For $10, that's all good stuff. So they bought them. Best part is a couple years ago, I gave my sister, whose name is also Lisa, I gave her a list of pen brands to look out for and those not to look for. And she had the list in her phone just to make sure she wasn't buying junk. So she called. I'll be picking them up next weekend, so can't wait to see them. They should be interesting. But those guys can pick pens for us anytime.
Absolutely. Now, you'll have to go alone since I'll be out of town, and I think I'm a little nervous. You'll have the big penmobile all to yourself, and I don't even remember. Don't look that excited. I don't even remember how many antique stores and antique malls are on the way. Try not to break the bank and overload the car while I'm at the PCA Board of Directors meeting, please.
Well, there's a couple of antique malls along the way, and since it'll be a Sunday, I'll have a chance to go and visit them. So we'll see.
Oh, no.
Anyway, that was excitement for this week. Should be fun to report on next weekend.
Yeah, once we actually get them.
Once we get them. So, but overall, they look good. Let's move on to eBay this week. We kind of skipped over it last week with the Raleigh show. But I actually won something on eBay for a change. Last week I got an invoice from Esterbrook, dated 1919. It went for fairly cheap, but when I got it, it has a most interesting stamp over the invoice. Unfortunately, it's right over the... There's the invoice. I don't know if you can see much. But there's a little picture of a nib here, a Falcon nib. And they had a custom stamp made that they stamped right over it in green stamp ink that says, "We hereby guarantee that the merchandise covered by this invoice has been produced or manufactured in accordance with the Child Labor Act of September 1st, 1916.
It's a good company.
Yeah, so...
I mean, it's a good company practice.
Yeah, yeah. So I look it up and find out it's related to the Keating-Owen Child Labor Act, which prohibited the shipment or delivery for shipment for interstate or foreign sale of any goods or services that were produced by laborers under the age of 14 in a factory, shop, or cannery.
Cannery,
yeah. And under the age of 16 in a mine. Child laborers under 16 could only work from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. and not more than 8 hours a day and not more than 6 days a week. Interestingly enough, the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional in June of 1918, but Esterbrook still stamped this on their invoice, this one being dated December of 1919. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
And we can't even get our kids to be awake that long.
6 a.m. Yeah. So, you know, 14 year, you know, they could have had 14-year-olds in the factory. At that point, which is interesting.
Pretty sad. So. But the pricing on the invoice was pretty crazy too. 24 cents to ship 15 gross nibs, a radio case, some show cards, and a folder of information.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
And the terms, certainly nothing like today. 2% if paid within 30 days, something you certainly wouldn't see these days.
No, it would be 2% and 10 net and 30, if you got that,
if
you got
all.
A discount at all, yeah. Another interesting thing I found out about the invoice, when I did a search to see the location that was listed, I went to Google Street View and plain as day saw the current building. And it's still operating as Heritage Stationery Incorporated Office Supplies in Troy, New York. So I don't know if it's the same business, but it may have been, it could very well be the same business that was going on almost 100 years ago.
We could have my parents pop over. Troy's not that far from home.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Like 45 minutes.
Really? That would be neat. That would be neat. Looks like a nice, nice little store. They don't, unfortunately, they have no online presence. So getting any more information about going there would be kind of difficult, but
we could just jet on up there.
Why don't we do that?
Okay.
So anyway, I thought that was interesting. Nice little piece of history. You don't often find the invoices from the manufacturers. So there's a lot of information on there. Other interesting eBay auctions, this week that finished,
you and your eBay.
I love these things. Include, and I'm going to bring a couple of them up here for you. First one I thought was interesting, Diamond Point. And this is a kind of a harder to find.
It's a funky color.
Red and tan marbled plastic. Now, by the looks of it and from the ones that I've seen in the past, this is probably an oversized pen. I mean, it's a big, big chunky pen. The pictures are your classic eBay blurry camera photos, but you know, it looks in reasonably good condition. Warranted nib, but 14K, $93.
Is that good or bad?
You know, I think that's all right for this this particular pen. 16 bids.
Okay.
You know, you don't find this one very often, so all right. I thought that was interesting.
What else you got?
How about this one? How about an AA Waterman gold overlay?
Oh no.
Yeah.
Did you buy that one?
You know.
You did.
This one for $482.82.
You bought that?
16 bids. I mean, it's really, really a nice example. It's got some nice, stripes on there, and it's got some, floral work on the band. I see a little better image there.
So is that coming home to us or no?
It's a nice looking pen. It's got some engraving.
Oh no!
A nice AA Waterman. I mean, look at that nib. I mean, it's got a looks like a little club breather hole there. So it should be fun to see what this looks like when it gets in.
What?
No. Twist filler even.
Okay.
Really, really, you don't see these very often. Very beautiful pen. So I thought that was noteworthy. $482. You know, it's about kind of on par for what these are going for. You know, go find another one, and especially in this condition.
All right. What else isn't coming home to us?
What else not coming home? I don't know. Now this looks a little rough. This picture was taken with a flash, and so that really almost makes it look worse than it is. But here's a Waterman 12 SF, which stands for sleeve filler. This went for $173.59, 20 bids, so it had some bidding activity. It's kind of rough. It's pretty heavily discolored. Doesn't look like it has any major cracks. Now, of course, this picture shows it with the box, and it looks black, but the other pictures clearly show some discoloration, some wear on the chasing. The section looks a little rough.
Yeah.
But another interesting thing, too, it came with a Parker Lucky Curve number 3 nib, so it doesn't even have the right nib. Although,
swap it out.
Yeah, that's not a big deal. Finding a New York number 2 nib is pretty easy. Easy to find. In fact, the Parker nib is probably more valuable than the correct New York nib for this one. So maybe that's what didn't detract from the bidding. But kind of hard to find pen sleeve filler. But I think I would hold out for a little better example. But interesting nonetheless.
And that's not coming home.
That's not coming home. No, okay, I'll hold out for something a little nicer. Maybe right. With a filigree or something.
Oh, no.
Switching gears here. I saw this set, and I really, really kind of liked it. 51 Vacuumatic double jewel set. 14-karat tassies and the nose cone on the pencil. In black. It looks really clean. 13 bids went for $394.44.
Wow.
So almost $400, which honestly seems a little bit cheap to me, especially given, you know, we've got some 14 karat in there. Comes in the box, nice looking set. 1/10 16 karat gold filled caps. Pencil cap's got a little bit of a dent, a little bit of a ding in the back of it, but you know, who cares? Those are easy to roll out. Nice looking set.
All right.
I could see that in the Christmas stocking, maybe.
Something flashier.
Yeah, okay. Switching gears again. This one I thought was kind of interesting. How about a Chilton red modeled hard rubber oversized pen and pencil set?
That's a pretty set.
It is a pretty set. Look at this marbling. How that's going there. That's just really pretty. Went for $282.77 and only 11 bids.
There are some diehard Chilton collectors out there.
There are, yeah. This is a nice looking set. It came with this leather case, which is kind of neat, but I doubt it's anywhere near original. But I can't really get a good look at the nib, but it looks like the right nib. It's got a Boston nib. It's got some engraving on both pieces, really kind of tastefully done with the original owner's initials. Fit nicely in the case.
Yep, nice shot of the inside of the case.
Yeah, yeah. $282. That is a nice price for an oversized modeled hard rubber. And modeled hard rubber seems to be very popular these days. So that was kind of a nice set. Let's see.
Is that it?
No, I got two more here.
All right.
I thought were interesting. This one I thought would make a nice present for you, but...
Awesome. I'm ready.
You're ready. How about an Eversharp Doric set?
Ooh.
In cashmere, which is the
green? Okay.
Green and black, kind of marbled. $255, only two bids. So what that tells me is the price was high from the beginning, which is one reason why some people, you know, they don't like starting out with a high bid, because you get people who don't think that they're going to get a deal.
And so that's coming to me? No?
We'll see. But it's a nice, you know, nice looking set, and it has with maybe one of the better features here, other than the fact that there is no crazing. There's no hairlines, there's no cracks that are so common in these. It has the
adjustable nib.
Yep, the number 3 adjustable nib, which is pretty cool. But it's in working order, and I think the seller claims it to be a mint example. So pretty cheap, mint, I think.
Mint but dipped.
Mint but dips, although you look at the nib, and the nib's got some tarnish, so...
Sort of maybe mint.
Sort of maybe. So that was interesting. I think items in Hong Kong, but dealers selling a lot of looks like high-end stuff this week.
Cool.
Interesting. And okay. Last but not least, this is one for the caveat emptor buyer beware. Now, this here is listed as an Aiken Lambert sterling silver overlay.
Uh-oh, that means it's making its way here.
No, probably not. Okay. and why am I so cautious about this? You know, Aiken certainly made sterling filigrees. I have at least one of them. This one has an Aiken number 3 nib. I'm just not sold on this being Aiken, and you take a look at the nib here. And the reason I'm not so sold, first of all, take the way the nib is set up on this thing, is really sticking out there. It's not set right. So that either leads me to believe that, you know, it was adjusted at some point, or maybe the original nib in the pen just it broke and it was replaced, but this was not set the way most of them usually are. There's a
right.
big
gap. Farther.
Yeah, there's a big gap between the number three and the edge of the end of the section. Now, certainly, Aiken didn't mark hardly any of their overlays. They did some of the their dip pens. They marked Elko, but if you just take a look at the filigree work, the cutouts, they're so crude. They're not clean.
Not nearly as precise as what you normally see.
Yeah, this one here in this middle picture, this one here at the end is kind of like a little squarish type of thing. It doesn't look like something that a company founded on being a jeweler in New York, where competition was pretty fierce. Doesn't look like something they would put out. And yet, it went for $183.50 in 12 bids. So
somebody needed the nib badly.
Really, really badly.
Really, really badly.
Really badly. So, I don't know. It's interesting. But, your mileage may vary. And I would be happy to be proven wrong on that one. But I haven't seen anything in the Aiken catalogs that I have that show anything that's quite that crude. Most of them are similar to the Waterman overlays of the period, which are
very well done.
Yeah, pretty refined. Yep. So, anyway, that's eBay for this week.
Awesome. And now you have a whole nother week to spend researching on eBay again.
I love my job.
And how about the workbench? Anything going on there besides cleaning and filling all of our daughter's pens?
Boy, I think Lizzie's given me 7 or 8 pens to flush and fill this week. She's got quite the nice little collection going. I don't even think I saw every one of them either. So I've got, I've got 4 or 5 of them sitting over here.
Yeah, she's got more in a tray somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, this week I had a couple of standard Shaver Balance pens. I'm just trying to get caught up. But there was also something a little different this week. A Mont Blanc in desperate need of repair.
Talked about a Mont Blanc last week.
I may have, yes.
Yeah.
This pen had unfortunately leaked all over the owner's shirt pocket.
The current owner or the soon-to-be new owner? Wait.
One of them, maybe. this 124 just happened to make its way here. And this is my first experience with a Mont Blanc piston filter. And I looked at it. I'm trying to figure it out. And I'm checking the books and checking online. And it's not a model that people usually talk about a lot. And surprisingly, once I figured out how it all came apart, it was a quite an easy repair.
Awesome.
And I think I'm going to have to disassemble it again. I think it may be good for a good blog post or some people might like to see how they come apart.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now the pen is fixed and ready for what?
I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
Oh. All right. Birthday.
Something.
Just because...
We'll find out in a month, maybe.
I guess we will. Let's see. Switching gears, unless you're going to gush about the Mont Blanc a little more.
No, that's good. It doesn't leak anymore, so there's no need to gush.
Awesome. Well, every week we get a number of Esterbrook-related questions, from nib inquiries to size questions to all sorts of random oddball questions. And we thought we would start to address a few of those each week. One of them, for example, is a really basic question. How can I tell which model I have or saw in an eBay auction? The J models came in 3 sizes. The J, which is the full size. The LJ, which is the slender but full length. And the SJ, or the demi size. And they came in the classic 6 colors. No, we're not going to address the color issue this week.
Not this week.
No, that's a podcast all to itself.
Yes, it is.
The full-size J is the longest and the fattest of the 3 basic J sizes. The LJ is the same length, but has a thinner girth, and the SJ has the same thinner girth, but it's shorter than the J or the LJ.
So how do we tell if we only have one?
If you only have one, another way to tell is by looking at the cap and the barrel jewels. The LJ and the SJ pens had the same size jewels for both the cap and the barrel. The full size J has a cap jewel that's larger than the barrel jewel.
There we go.
So that's another way to tell. Interestingly, neither the 1949 or the 1952 catalogs show the LJ model. Double jewel models came out around 1948 and were produced in vast quantities, and many of them still show up in the wild with perfectly pliable sacks and ready-to-write condition.
Yep. So. Yeah, I see quite a few that have. Esterbrook was one of the few companies that actually marked their sacks, and I see a good number of them that come in with Esterbrook marked on the sack, so it's kind of neat to see. And they're still
in good shape.
Still good shape, yeah.
Yep. Another often asked question has to do with Esterbrook nibs. It seems like every week we receive a couple of questions regarding the flexible Esterbrook nibs. Our first caveat is that your mileage may vary, so keep that in mind. But that means that everyone writes differently, everyone puts different pressure on the nib, so each experience will be different. We do try to caution users, however, especially people new to vintage or new to steel nibs, that steel nibs are generally not as wet noodle flexy as, let's say, a 14-karat gold Waterman nib. By their very makeup, they're not designed to flex that much. Whereas gold is softer and much more bendable to start with. Think about steel in a building. You don't want that to bend. Some people do experience some really nice line variation with some steel nibs, but the average user will not get the same experience as, let's say, a skilled calligrapher.
Yes, that's very true. There are some people who really can, they can make anything look great.
Beautiful.
But unless you have the experience in the practice.
Some people will be disappointed. Let's see, what else?
Pen shows, what's coming up?
Miami coming up next month, July 19th through the 22nd. Sadly, don't think we're going to make that one.
No?
No. It's a bad time of year to get away.
Okay.
Bert Ozer runs Miami and terrific show host. He also runs Philly in January, Baltimore in March, which we went to this year, loved it, and San Francisco in October.
Yeah, Bert does a good job. Would love to. I haven't been to Miami since he's taken over, but I'm sure he does a great job. I think my favorite part about the Baltimore show was the breakfast that he put on for the vendors. That was great.
Yep. So. The architecture in the building was amazing. So to eat breakfast in this absolutely breathtaking room was a bonus.
Yeah. So. He did a good job too, though. He's always checking up with making sure everybody's has what they need and everybody's comfortable, and he takes care of you. So
absolutely. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Okay, great, great.
Let's see. Next for us is DC.
Okay. Awesome.
Awesome. August 9th through the 12th. Huge, huge show. Can't wait. Going to be a blast.
Yeah, it'll be good this year. I think we're gonna try a little bigger presence than last year.
Oh, my goodness. I think we're going to need to rent help or something.
We're considering it. So
we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. But yeah, DC will be fun. We'll talk about that more as it gets close. But let's enjoy our summer here while we have it.
It is nice to be home for a little while.
It is. So, anything else this week?
I don't think so. I think we've covered everything we need to cover.
Okay. Comments, suggestions for topics, constructive criticism.
No way.
Use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online at?
Email brian@andersonpens.net.
Or Lisa@andersonpens.net.
We're on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/AndersonPens.
Of course, on the web, AndersonPens.net.
Absolutely. And our blog, AndersonPens.net/blog.
Join the mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye. Bye.